Hey everyone, Sam Evans here, and in today's video I want to share why I get a way to think. And specifically, I want to share 7 things with you that I've been thinking about a lot recently. And you might have noticed that last week I didn't release a new blog video. Typically I release a blog video every Tuesday, and last week that didn't happen. The reason why is because I was taking a 7-day vacation with my wife Ashley. And we went on a road trip. We drove from Los Angeles here to Salt Lake City. And it was an awesome vacation. And some of you might be surprised to think, like, oh my God, Sam actually goes on vacations. I thought he was a robot. Robot goes on vacations. And I go on 4 of them each year for 7 days each. And they are aligned with the equinoxes every 90 days. So it's very robotic structure for when I take them. And the reason why I take those breaks is there's a few. Like, one of the main reasons is because I need rest. You know, I work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and I take Sunday off every week, but then I need some longer rest sometimes to recharge my batteries. And that happens, you know, every kind of 90 days. And it also aligns perfectly with the quarters. So in business, you know, there's Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, that's the end of the year. It's a nice way to kind of break the years down. Like, you've got a year, that's one chunk, then you've got quarters, then you've got months, then you've got weeks, then you've got days, then you've got hours, then you've got minutes, right? It's a good way to kind of structure and chunk down time. And why I take these breaks is to get away, to have a rest, also to have some fun, and also to go somewhere with my wife, where it's just her and I, and I'm not doing any work. I do absolutely no work, no email, no nothing. It's just 7 days of pure just hanging out, relaxing. And we went skiing, snowmobiling. We met up with some of our customers, Andrew Argue and Amanda Argue. They're successful students of ours at consulting.com. They're making about 8 figures a year, which is more than $1 million a month. And their company is accountingandtax.com. And you should go check it out. They've done incredibly well. I remember when Andrew first started working with me on January 5th, 2016, he was making $17,500 a month with a generalist marketing agency. And he started working with me Jan 5, and he exploded in growth. You know, within the first kind of 90 days, he was making about $300,000 a month. And, you know, those results are not typical at all. So don't think that, like, everyone that joins our programs at consulting.com has results like that. Admittedly, he's probably the best success story we've got, right? But we met up with him and we hung out with them, we went skiing, and it was an awesome time. And, you know, another reason why I take these vacations is because sometimes you've got to distance yourself from, like, your business. And what happens is you get too close to the thing. You know, sometimes you're too close to the trees and you can't see, like, the forest and the patterns throughout it, and you're just zoomed in on the details. And what you need is a real change in perspective so that you can kind of rise above it, see it from a different perspective, and think, like, am I even on the right path? And the things I've been worried about and obsessed with, are these the right things? Are these really the things that are going to take me to where I want to go? And so these quarterly vacations are actually instrumental to growing your business. And I have some of my best breakthroughs on these quarterly vacations. So it's kind of counterintuitive, you know, like, you can take time off work and do more during that time off than you could do when you're working, right? So I highly recommend it. If you're an entrepreneur, like, you should take quarterly breaks, go away for 7 days and stick to it. And your girlfriend or wife will probably appreciate you for it a lot too. But, you know, back to the point, like, while I was away on vacation, what I try to do is not really have any agenda or anything, but what I notice is that the things that keep popping into my mind, like, I'm just trying to go about my day, like going skiing or hanging out or whatever, but what I'm observing is some things just pop into my mind and they keep popping in and they keep coming back. And these nagging things, these are the things that you really should address when you get back from that vacation, right? because these are obviously the things that that need solving and need attention. And so it's quite cool to see what those are naturally. And I'm not even trying to work, but my mind's kind of ticking and it's working on these things, even though I'm not like actually sitting down and trying to take action. And this is a very powerful strategy that a lot of successful entrepreneurs have used. Like Bill Gates is famous for taking like a week or two off at the end of every year and going away into like a mountain, cabin in the mountains with just a bunch of books and reading a bunch of books, being by himself and thinking like, is this the best strategy for Microsoft moving forward? A lot of entrepreneurs do that, and the thinking you do there and the reading you do there, it's instrumental to your business and its growth. Now, what I'm going to do in today's video is, first of all, I wanted to explain, you know, why I get away to think. Like, you think a lot better when you remove yourself from the situation. You kind of view it, you view it as an observer more than a participant. And when you're a participant within a situation, like, you cannot really be as objective and as rational as an observer can, because an observer is not involved in the unfolding of the situation. They're just passive on the side. And so it's really powerful to become an observer of your own situation and try to view yourself through an objective lens, because that's when you can be like, oh, I was probably wasting a lot of time doing that and I should have probably focused on that, but I was neglecting that. It's a great way to gain insight and make those big jumps in your business. Now, the second piece I wanted to do in this video was share like the actual things that I've been thinking about, right? Not just explain why I get away to think, but tell you what I was actually thinking about. And I have seven key things that I came up with. And the first one is the market has inverted and everybody is backwards, right? So this has been happening for a while. And I'm by no means the first person to observe this thing that's happening, right? But what surprises me is that most people, most entrepreneurs, they still have not caught on to this. And what happened is, in like before the internet and before like Google search and before all of these tools, the key to really being a successful entrepreneur was probably spending 20% of your time working on making a great product or a great service, right? And then 80% of your time was best spent shouting about it and telling everyone about it. So like 80% marketing and promotion, 20% like product and really honing your services. And that used to be the recipe for success. And it didn't really matter if companies had superior products because you could outmarket them. Like, there were multiple cases where someone had a superior product and like the company with the less superior product would win because they could just unleash a marketing firestorm. But what's happened now, and this pretty much happened since the birth of the internet, especially Google and especially social media and really all of these tools that gave the average everyday consumer a voice, and more than a voice, like a megaphone, right? And what's happened now is that's inverted. Like, the market has inverted. And so now it's all about the product. And so really, if companies want to win in today's marketplace, they should spend 80% of their time on the product and the service and making that the best they can, and only 20% of their time marketing and sales, like telling people about it, right? Because people have amazing tools to go out and do their own research. And like word of mouth and all of these things, they've never been more powerful. And what still shocks me is I meet a lot of entrepreneurs and they're spending most of their time on the marketing and the sales still, and they just don't get it. And you know, this, if you think that like I don't know what I'm talking about with this statement, well, here's how I heard about it. So I actually heard about it from Eric Schmidt, who was the CEO of Google, right? Google's pretty, they know what they're doing. Eric probably knows what he's doing. And Eric quoted Jeff Bezos, where he said that, you know, the market used to be 80% shouting about it, 20%. So like, this is Google, Eric Schmidt, Jeff Bezos, they're the ones talking about this stuff. It is real, it is happening. And businesses that don't really understand this, they're going to fail and they're going to face debt. So this is a key insight. And I just keep thinking more and more and more about it, and I want to try and tell as many entrepreneurs about it, because you're going to face the music. And, you know, when it comes, it's best to have been warned and prepared, right? Now, the second thing is value is king. Like, if you really want to win, there's so many different details you can think about. Like, oh, does my website look cool? Or do I have this pop-up or this widget or this chatbot or all of this crap, right? And you need to focus on one key thing if you want to make progress in leaps and bounds. And the easiest way to think about business is that, you know, value is king. If you provide the most value to the customer, you will win, regardless of anything else, right? That's just as simple as it is. And then you, like, I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, how does value get created? Like, how is value created for customers? And really, customers have problems, and then companies provide solutions to those problems in the form of products and services. And the byproduct of applying that product or service to that problem is a solution, and therefore value is formed. And so that is the equation of how value comes about. Now, the better you solve the problem, and the faster you solve the problem, the cheaper you solve the problem, all of these different things determine who is providing the most value, right? But how do you actually create value? Like, how does value get created? And really, value is all about having the best product. Like, whoever's got the best product or the best service, they're providing the most value. But then how do you create a great product? Well, really, it's talent. And this is something a lot of entrepreneurs don't go to. Like, you know, they're just screwing around with marketing and sales stuff, which, don't get me wrong, it has its place, it's important, you can't neglect it, but it's only 20% of the equation. Then the other 80% of it is having a great product, providing value. How do you do that? Well, you have great talent. And at the start, this can be you. But if you really want to win, then you need to hire a team of people who can create value. Because imagine this scenario. Imagine that I have a business and I'm the only person in it creating value. I'm the only talented individual in the company innovating, right? Well, an easy way to beat me would be to get 10 people who are talented. That's 10 times the horsepower, they will win. So, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs' businesses I see where the only person who's talent or intelligent in their company is them. And they're too easy to beat. You know, all someone has to do is hire two talented people and they win, right? So really you need to focus on having a talented team. But then how do you get a talented team? Well, it's all about recruitment. And these are things you never hear entrepreneurs talk about. Like, you never hear people talk about recruitment. You never hear them talk about talented team. And you never hear them talk about product, right? And you never really hear them talk about value. Instead, you hear them talk about chatbots, marketing, and Gary Vee, and things like this, right? Now, you can think about and talk about whatever you want, but if you want to win, you need to be thinking about these other things. If it's just you and you're a sole business owner, you want to be really focusing most of your attention and time on being the best or becoming the best. And once you've really started to make progress towards that, you need to work on hiring a team of great people around you. And then really, what I realized is, you know, given the market inversion and given that value is king and the flow of how value is created through value, product, talent, recruitment, you know, to win, what I really need to do, me personally, my number one priority is I must go all in on recruitment. Because if I go all in on recruitment and I make that my thing, and that means that I can recruit a team of talented people, and that means that we can create great products, and that means we can provide the most value, and that means that we can win, right? So that's kind of how I reverse engineered it, and this was going through my mind when I was away. And so really, I realized, okay, well, this is quite a change for me. I'm going to be basically spending 80-90% of my time recruiting talented people. And, you know, I think a lot of people, they never think about that. But really, if you, a CEO's main job, a CEO or a manager or an entrepreneur's main role, once they get the ball rolling and once they get some cash flowing in and a niche selected and all of this stuff, it's not to actually, like, be selling or marketing or things like this. It's to be recruiting a team who can innovate and create value. And if you think about it, really, a company is what parts is a company made of? It's made up of people. And a company, really, if we sum total the individual people within it, we get the group. And really, the smartest companies are the ones that win. And so, really, the company that hires the smartest people wins. And no one really thinks about it like this. People, when they're trying to hire, they typically outsource it to, like some third world country, and they try to cut corners on costs. No one like that I see most of the time in the online business space is really making it their number one priority to go out and hire talented people and be a recruiter, right? And it's quite interesting to think about, because I have absolute conviction in it. I'm going to be spending most of my time doing it. Whether you do or not, that's totally up to you, but I'm just sharing with you some things that I've been thinking about. And then you might be thinking, okay, well, Sam, if you're going to be going out and recruiting a whole bunch of people and spending most of your time doing that, who are you really looking for? Like, and I was thinking this too, like, what are talented people? And like, what are the core ingredients that makes up a talented person for us as a company, consulting.com? And really, I came up with this term, intelligent, unorthodox athletes. So the three components, intelligent, unorthodox athletes. Now, really why I'm looking for people that are like this is, first of all, intelligence, like raw brain horsepower. How do you test this? Why is it important? Well, really, like, the market moves so fast and our forecasting skills and ability to predict the future is pretty crap. So therefore, someone's skills don't really matter. And really the only thing that matters is their ability to gain skills in the future, because they're bound to change. And what makes someone able to really learn skills is intelligence, raw mental horsepower. And what I mean by that isn't someone's IQ test. What I mean by that really is someone's ability to solve problems, like their problem solving skills, their curiosity, their cognition, and really their endurance and their ability to focus, like brain power. And really what I'm looking for in people is, before anything else, is just this raw intelligence, raw brain horsepower, more so than skill, more so than experience, more so than anything. But that's not enough. I also want people who are unorthodox. And what I mean by this is, you know, people who aren't just going to follow what's already done. Like, some of the worst people I see think that what's most popular is what must be true, which is terrible logic, and it leads to groupthink and madness of crowds and all sorts of delusions. And it's definitely no way to actually run a business. It's certainly no way to win in business. And what I like is people who are willing to, like, invert the status quo and go against the crowd, stand on their own, have really strong opinions, and even controversial ones. But they're not delusional in this. They're backed up with data, right? And so I really like these people. And a question I ask a lot of people to try and dig at this is, you know, what is something that you believe to be true that nobody else agrees with you on? Right? Think about that question. It's kind of tricky. And what I'm looking for is people who they're able to analyze a situation, see what the crowd is thinking, and see what the status quo is and the prevailing biases, but then forget that and then conduct their own analysis and then form their opinion based off that and then stick to it and bet on it against the crowd. This is what I'm really looking for, and that's what I call an unorthodox person. And the final component, the third one, is athletes. And why I say athletes is because, you know, athletes are great at understanding that they're great at understanding competition. And a lot of people in business, they fail to remember that business is a massive competition. And you're fighting other people every day. It never stops, and they keep coming back harder, harder, harder. And you need to get stronger, stronger, stronger. And one of the best ways to do that is to work harder. And so it's not enough to be smart. And it's not enough to be unorthodox and innovative. You have to be extremely smart, unorthodox and innovative, and relentlessly hardworking, right? Like, greatness is never achieved working 9 to 5. So, you know, we don't want anybody who just wants to work 9 to 5, because nothing great gets done in 9 to 5. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't start your business and you can't run your business working 9 to 5. You absolutely can. Just don't ever expect to win, right? Because I can guarantee you, you won't. And so I'm looking for people who possess these three things, like a chemical compound, right, of an apex predator. And it's intelligence, unorthodox thinking, and competitive mindset. So intelligent, unorthodox athletes. That's really who I'm looking for in every single different dimension and component of my business. And I encourage you to think really about, like, your business. What is your type of person? Because not all businesses should have the same views on what is their people. You know, like, this is what makes your culture, and this is what, you know, makes your company what it is. You've got to know your type of person and go looking for them and recruit a team of them. And then the fifth thing I've been thinking about is that, you know, recruiting. Now that we know that the market's inverted, it's all about product, and to create value, you must think about product, and to think about product, you have to think about talent, and to think about talent, you must think about recruitment. Well, now that we're thinking about recruitment, you know, recruitment is really like a David versus Goliath situation. And what I mean by that is it's asymmetric warfare. Like, we have, like, there are companies out there like Google, Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, right? These big companies, they've got hundreds of billions of dollars, and they're all over the world, and they've got so much resources that they're like the biggest Goliath ever. And then there's companies like me and companies like the ones that you have. We're like tiny compared to them. And really, if the game is all about talent and recruitment, then how are we supposed to win against them? Because one of their main focuses is, well, actually their number one focus, if you read their letters to shareholders, and the ones I'm talking about is Google, also Amazon, right, you'll realize that recruitment is their number one process, and they're looking for smart people. And so how do you beat them? Like, how do you find those talented people when you have a Goliath kind of object in the market, like, just pull it, gravitating everything towards it? And that's a really good question, because you can't outspend them, and your brand isn't better than theirs, and you don't have more time than them. So, like, how do you do it? It's a really good question to think about. And the more I thought about it, the more, like, while I was on vacation, I thought, well, you know, what I really want to do is play money ball to win in an unfair game. And if you haven't seen Moneyball, it's a great movie, and it's also a great book. I recommend you watch both. Well, you actually watch the movie, read the book. It's awesome. And I'll give you a quick kind of synopsis of it. Basically, there was this, and this is going to be very vague because I'm not a sports person, so if I get some inaccuracies in here, forgive me, this is just what I remember about it. But basically, there was a baseball team, and they didn't have much money. They had a small budget because they were just a small team. And obviously the big teams that are the famous, they've got all the money, and they're able to recruit all the talent because, you know, money and fame gets talent. So then how is a small baseball team with no money and no fame supposed to win? Well, that was the situation they were in. David versus Goliath, kind of asymmetric situation. And what they did is they looked at the data. There was an analyst, a famous analyst, who really looked at it, and he studied the traits that were popular. And always in the world, there are traits that people seem to have a bias towards over other traits, right? And so they found that, like, it was batting, it was something to do with batting or throwing or catching. Like, these were the three metrics that everybody was obsessed about and willing to pay money for. They thought that these three metrics were what defined winning and success as a baseball player, right? And so obviously people who had these, who were strong in these three things, they were gone, forget about them. So what this analyst had to do is look for, like, unrealized value, and really look for players that are very talented and capable, but that no one sees as talented and capable, right? And this happens in the world all the time, right? Like when you're investing in stocks, the best investments aren't the ones that are already climbing like crazy and that everyone is talking about, right? I always think about it when the taxi driver and your friend who smokes weed is talking about it, do not do it. Like that's literally kind of my formula. If it's in the news and if your stoner friend's talking about it and if the taxi driver's asking you whether he should invest, get out. And that was true with Bitcoin and a lot of things. And really where I'm going with this is that what's popular and what's going up in value is often the worst thing to invest in. And the best things to invest in financial markets, real estate, everything, are unrealized assets. And those are basically assets that have a book value or a true value that is greater than its market value. So the perceived value is less than the book value, which is the actual real value. And this happens all the time with stocks. It happens with private companies, happens with assets, happens with sports players. And guess what? It happens with employees. It happens with talent. And so you really, if you want to get the best talent in a David versus Goliath situation, you need to play Moneyball. And you need to look at the things that the market has a bias towards. And obviously you're not going to be able to get those people. So let me give you an example to make this real. In my company, there's media buyers, for example, people who buy Facebook ads and Google ads, things like this. We don't actually hire media buyers. We don't want media buyers. Like, screw that. They're the last people in the world we want. What we want instead is like a data scientist or an engineer or even a chemical engineer or a scientist or an analyst or a statistician, right? Someone with the raw skills, because these raw skills, people don't see them as valuable as they see like Facebook media buyer. Someone can just be a Facebook media buyer, know how to buy Facebook ads, and then be worth a whole bunch of money, but have no real skill. And then someone can be a statistician, fresh out of college, not know how to buy Facebook ads, and be really cheap, and they make a way better media buyer. All right? So this is what I'm talking about. You've got to learn to think differently and look at you've got to play Moneyball, right? So when it comes to sales reps, we don't hire sales reps. When it comes to media buyers, we don't hire media buyers. We never hire managers. I dislike managers. I have a hatred of management. And in my views, the best doer automatically becomes the manager. So we hire doers, and when we see one rise and they're best equipped to manage. And we don't believe anyone should ever be managing. They should always be doing and managing at the same time, because the best doer is the manager. So with all of these different things, we think differently about it, and that enables us to compete against these bigger players and find these unrealized assets or undervalued assets. And we also do it with software engineers. You know, we know that a lot of software engineers, they're in extreme demand from all of the big companies. And what they look at is specifically the number of years experience they have, and also the company that person works at, and also the languages, that the coding languages that engineer is skilled at. So let's say someone knows React, and they also know, they've got 6 years experience, like let's say they've got 4 years experience in React, and they've worked at Google, right? That is what everyone's after. And so there's a vicious red sea of competition after this person. Forget hiring that person, you're not going to be able to. And then even if you can, you're going to pay through the nose for it. So instead, you've got to think differently. You've got to play Moneyball. And what we really look at is, we look at different things. And I won't tell you exactly what they are for this particular role. But, you know, we look at how they think, and we look at what university they went to. And typically, we never look at universities. But with software engineers, there seems to be a pattern persistent with that. And you know, what we've figured out is that we can find really good engineers that are beyond Google level that people don't see as very good and very valuable. So we've identified like unrecognized talent. It means it's easier for us to get them, and we can get them at better prices, and we get great people, whereas everyone else is fighting over here. It's true asymmetric warfare, and it's true, you know, playing Moneyball. So, you know, as I tell you this video and I tell you that the market's inverted, which it has, and now that it's done this thing, If you want to win, you really need to focus on value. The person who provides the most value wins. If you want to provide value, you need to work on product. And if you want to work on product, you really need to hire talented people. And if you want to hire talented people, you need to focus on recruitment. And when you're focusing on recruitment and you're not a billionaire with a huge reputation, then you need to play Moneyball. And you need to identify the biases and the blind spots and really construct your own view of talent. Find your own way of doing it, and this is how you win. And these are the things I've been thinking about, right? I just wanted to make this video and tell you what I've been thinking about on my vacation and why I take vacations. And finally, point seven is building pyramids and my next stage of evolution. And what's cool to think about is that, you know, for up until this moment in time, I've really been a builder myself. Like, I've built my own products full on. I've made my own funnels, my own ads, my own everything. Like, I've typically built everything and done everything myself. And I've grown my company over the last 6-7 years to, like, from zero to 30 million a year. And really, I've been the builder. And I haven't really had a team around me that's been building too. They've been like assistant builders, right? And so they've definitely built stuff, but I haven't really had a company where it can, where everything can kind of be built without me. I'll just touch that there. And my biggest fear, honestly, is probably, well, it is, it's getting older and getting to the point where I can't focus intensely and work really long hours, getting to that point before assembling an awesome team who is smarter than me in every way, shape, and form, and works harder than me in every way, shape, and form. That's my biggest fear. It is getting to that point without having this assembled. And so now, really, what my number one focus is going to be, a lot of people always ask me this question, like, Sam, what do you spend your time doing day to day? To be honest, it's changed massively. It changes at different stage of development, right? I've been a doer for like 6-7 years. I've been doing everything. Like, I know how to do everything there is in my business for like as it currently exists. But my point here is that, you know, just think about the pyramids. Think about like the pyramid of Giza in Egypt and stuff. And that would not be built by one individual person, right? The only way to build those pyramids is to assemble a massive team and really talented people and create a good culture and things like that. And so really I've been building small pyramids, and you might think like, oh, $30 million is a lot. Really, it is, but you know, I want to build something a lot bigger. And so with our new mission, like our mission is to educate every human on earth. And so that's pretty big. And in order to do that, that's like pyramid big, right? And in order to do that, I can't do it myself. And so the next stage of evolution I've got is really just recruitment and managing and building a culture and, you know, building, architecting a great organization. And so that's just what I've been thinking about a lot. It's like, I'm now going to have to get off the tools, not completely. I'm still going to remain on the tools a lot. Because I actually truly love doing it, and I would love to just continue doing it. I don't like managing people, and I don't like hiring people, but the only way to build now, and the only way to advance to that next level, is to become a recruiter and to hire people and to manage people. That is building. It's just a different level of building, right? And that is what I've been thinking about. Those were the seven insights, and I don't know, maybe they're helpful for you, maybe they're not, but I know the first one you definitely want to pay attention to. The market has inverted, and you should be focusing on product, and you should be spending 80% of your time improving that product or service, 20% of your time on marketing and sales. Don't be one of those people that's just on social media talking about it like a big mouth and then has something shit. Right? Those people are going to get their asses handed to them, and they're already getting their asses handed to them. And, you know, the writing's on the wall. And if you actually want to survive and win in this business game, then you need to pay attention to that message, because it's coming, and it it keeps coming on stronger and it's going to keep coming. So I'm not saying that to try to scare you, but it's a very important thing. And so that's basically it. Wanted to share why I get away to think. I recommend you should get away to think too. And those are 7 things that I've been thinking about. Now, if you like this video, just click that like button. And also, let me know what you think in the comment section below. Like, if you like this video, let me know. And also, click that subscribe button. I release a video like this once every week, as well as customer interviews and live stream Q&As and other resources like that. Thanks for watching.